This is Fresh Air. I'm David Bianculli, TV critic for the New York Daily News, sitting in for Terry Gross. Zach Braff, who stars in the NBC medical sitcom Scrubs, has found it easier to get noticed off TV than on it. His first effort as a filmmaker, as both director and star, was the well-received Garden State, recently released on DVD. The movie was a surprise hit at the Sundance Film Festival, got very good reviews from critics, and generated excellent business for an independent film. Braff plays Andrew Largeman, a young man coming home to his New Jersey birthplace to attend the funeral of his mother. In this scene, he's talking with his soon-to-be girlfriend, played by Natalie Portman. They're sitting in a pool.
You know that point in your life when you realize the house you grew up in isn't really your home anymore? All of a sudden, even though you have some place where you put your that idea of home is gone.
Still feel at home in my house.
You'll see one day when you move out, it just sort of happens one day and it's gone. You feel like you can never get it back. It's like you feel homesick for a place that doesn't even exist. But maybe it's like this rite of passage, you know? You won't ever have that feeling again until you create a new idea of home for yourself, you know, for your kids, for the family you start. It's like a cycle or something. I don't know, but I miss the idea of it, you know? Maybe that's all a family really is. A group of people that miss the same imaginary place.
Zach Braff also stars in Scrubs, an NBC series that began in 2001. Like Garden State, it was met with critical acclaim for its offbeat and often dark humor and sensibilities. Unlike Garden State, it has never really prospered. NBC's moved it all over the schedule and shelved it recently until just a few weeks ago, when new episodes began to appear, featuring such guest stars as Colin Farrell. Today on Fresh Air, we'll talk with Garden State director, writer, and star Zach Braff, and with the creator of Scrubs, TV writer-producer Bill Lawrence. On Scrubs, Zach Braff stars as J.D. Dorian. He was a first-year resident as the series began, but now has made it all the way to chief resident. Well, co-chief resident, anyway. Braff has been acting since his teens and got his first big break playing Woody Allen's son in Manhattan Murder Mystery. Garden State, released last year, marked his official debut as a filmmaker. Bill Lawrence was on the writing staff of Friends, then co-created the sitcom Spin City with Gary David Goldberg. He created Scrubs 4 years ago, when it was hailed as the first new NBC sitcom since Friends to bring any quality to Thursday nights. In addition to Zach Braff as J.D., the ensemble cast of characters in Scrubs includes Donald Faison as Turk, J.D.'s fellow resident and best friend, Sarah Chalk as Elliot, J.D.'s former lover and current co-chief resident, and John C. McGinley as Dr. Cox, the hospital's authority figure who speaks very fast and very meanly to all the residents. Here's a scene from earlier this season, in which J.D., seeking help in inspiring the new first-year residents under his wing, makes the mistake of asking the dreaded Dr. Cox to give them a pep talk.
Ooh, Dr. Cox, can I ask you something?
The answer is yes, it was me who saw you doing leg lifts in the gym on that inflatable ball. It was quite the display of girl power. Absolutely loved the leg warmers.
First of all, they were just big socks, okay? And secondly, if you need to do some laundry, here's the washboard, right?
What do you want?
As co-chief resident, I've noticed that some of my residents are a little overwhelmed. I think it would be nice if you gave them one of your patented pep talks, you know?
I'll be more than glad to give your residents a little pep talk.
Each and every one of you is going to kill a patient. At some point during your residency, you will screw up, they will die, and it will be burned into your conscience forever. Hell, take Pee Pants here.
Pee Pants.
He just might go ahead and get himself a good clean kill this morning, seeing as his patient, Miss Sampson, is in DKA and he hasn't been tracking her phosphate level, her phosphate level, her phosphate level.
Doug! Stop writing and go!
That young man has killed so many patients, I'm starting to think he just might be a government operative. The point is, the harder you study, the longer you just might be able to hold off that first kill. Other than that, I guess, cross your fingers and hope that the guy you murder is a jackass with no family. Great to see you, kids. All the best.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Cox.
I spoke with Zach Braff and Bill Lawrence last year when they had resumed production on the current season of their sitcom, and asked Lawrence why he cast Braff in Scrubs.
No, Zach is a ridiculously talented actor, and one of the things I was trying to do with the show Scrubs was try to find a way to in a show have it cover both dramatic elements and big, broad, silly comedy. And Zach was an actor that had the ability to make the transition between the two very quickly, and still have the audience believe it. And besides that, I'm a huge fan of physical comedy. And one of the things that I saw early on in Zach that we were really excited to do was that he has the same physicality that John Ritter had in his ability to turn jokes and pratfalls and make them truly look out of the ordinary. I mean, I'm a lucky guy that the two male leads that I worked with so far on my television shows were Mike Fox and Zach Braff, and I think they're two of the best television physical comedians out there. And the other reason that I was really interested in Zach was the character on the show early on Scrubs is playing a young resident at his first day of work at a hospital, and how he's in completely over his head and has all this responsibility. And and I thought that a really cool metaphor for that was hiring an actor that didn't have a whole lot of credits and were basically going through the same thing in their real life, which is to be expected to carry an ensemble show from the outset, having never really had this big break before. And one of the things I think was cool was that, Zach's, vulnerability and, in turn, the empathy we felt for him as an audience showed through in his early performances, partly because of his talent and partly because he was going through the same experience in real life.
And Zach, what do you remember about the audition process once you got to L.A. and got in front of those executives?
I was very, very nervous. I actually auditioned a total of six times for Scrubs. The first time was this time where I was put on tape, and I didn't think I did a very good job at all. And when I got out to L.A., I was able to work with Bill, and it got better. And I think, the process of auditioning for a comedic pilot is so grueling, because you walk into this room, and pretty much every time I've ever done it, nobody laughs. This was the first time where Bill was really helpful and, really went out of his way to make me and the other people auditioning feel comfortable before we were supposed to go into this really funny scene. And then people in the room were genuinely laughing, which is helpful, because if I've gone to these auditions where you're doing these scenes and they're supposed to be really funny and no one makes a sound. So
that must be brutal.
It's terrifying.
It's a horrifying experience.
I mean,
for these guys.
It really is. It's like the Olympics in a way, that because you can, I went in six times, and you can go in five times and really do an amazing job. But on the final audition in front of the network, which is, 35 people in a very small room, if you don't really land it and do it right that time, then it doesn't really matter.
Talk about the inspiration for Scrubs.
You know what the greatest thing about this show is Spin City. When I created Spin City, I knew nothing about that world at all. And really, we were just doing a traditional multi-camera sitcom. And the best thing about this show, and the reason I was somewhat protective of it, is it's hard for people to believe, but it was truly real. It's my best friend from college, whose name is JD, and is now a cardiologist in the Los Angeles area and the medical advisor on the show. He and two other of my buddies went to med school, and I think everybody has a group of friends that your frame of reference is when you're a teenager. So when you think of these people and when you see them, you regress. And, and my last memory of JD is of a guy, with an empty 12-pack of beer on his head. And I always used to joke that my worst nightmare in the world as a young 23-year-old would be to wake up in an emergency room and see JD over me going, "You're going to be fine. Don't even worry about it." But as I was sitting with these guys and, just basically drinking a beer and talking, the one through line they all had was how horrifying their internship and residency were. And each one of them just said to me, everybody can imagine that job they had, that first day of work, and how scared you were and how you felt like you were going to fail and that everybody was judging you. And they said, add to that that you're suddenly responsible for the well-being of other human beings and whether or not they're going to live and die. And you would not believe, how all-encompassing and how incredibly horrifying an experience it is. And just that to me stuck something in my head that it would be an amazing TV show. And I've actually been able to, just through those two guys and actually a girl, Which would be a title for another TV show. there would be
for about a year and a half.
Yeah, exactly. Just through those three, and through the extension of other doctors, we have not done one medical story or even medical moment on the show that wasn't handed to us by another physician. That's the, you know, we've been embraced by the medical community. It's been one of the best things for us. And a deal that we have out there is that anytime doctors give us stories, you know, we end up naming characters after them and promising not to use real names of patients or anything like that. But, I mean, as a result of this show, you know, the real JD was the keynote speaker at Brown's med school graduation. I spoke at USC's med school graduation. Doctors are the most supportive group that we have. But, yeah, all that stuff's real. And to me, once I talked to all these doctors, as far as how the show came to be, I knew right away that it wouldn't be hard coming up with the funny stuff. And not only did I think it would be a great TV show, but to me, it made doctors seem very human. And on television, that's not something that in the dramas, people don't really do that, I don't think. I think they make them seem so bigger than life and so heroic. And all my friends that are doctors are still goofy, funny guys just trying to get through their day.
The interracial relationship between J.D. and Turk on the show is probably, to me, the most easygoing, convincing, and nice one, probably since all the way back to I Spy.
Oh, it's cool.
Do you take it seriously? I mean,
I take it incredibly seriously. I was a horrible, horrible stand-up comic when I was really young. And one of the things I always try to talk about was I was a TV kid, and every TV show that I watched in my childhood, and I'm not that old, whenever there was a black guy and a white guy hanging out together, it would be a special episode. You know, oh my God, Jimmy's got a black friend. What the hell is going on?
On a very special silver spoon.
Or they would err on the other side, which is, you know, there'd be a black friend and a white friend that hang out and are really close, but miraculously never notice that the other is black and that the other is white. And I, you know, hey, I don't want to trump myself up here, David, but I've had some black friends. No, but basically, one of the cool things is my buddies that we're comfortable with, and you know, both ways. We would always. One of the funniest things about that those kinds of friendships are just the observations you get to make about whether or not somebody, slides into a stereotype or tweaking, you know, the societal things that people say, and not shying away from it and being comfortable enough with a buddy that you can truly talk about it and shine a light on those things, and it's the aspect of their relationship that we take the most seriously, because we always want to be funny, but we never want to go over to the other side of now you're just using the fact that he's black and he's white to make a kind of a racially edgy joke. It's more important to us that these guys are so tight that they can they can cross lines and they can say things. And, to me, it's the way that those relationships should be. But it's really flattered that you asked, because it's something that we pay so much attention to in the writer's room and we think nobody ever notices.
And that's true in real life, too. I mean, Donald and I, as I said, are really good friends. And there's nothing in the world that I couldn't say in front of him and he me. And there's something refreshing about that, about a friendship where all the people who are so PC, especially on television, two characters that just take that apart, and JD, who's a little more naive, asking Turk questions. I mean, in the pilot, there was a thing about him asking about, you know, what he's supposed to do when there's a rap song on and he's lip syncing along and the N-word comes up, and just sort of deconstructing things about and political correctness. And I think that's refreshing in a way that you don't see on other TV shows.
And one of the amazing things for us is that Zach and Donald became so tight in real life that I don't just have to draw off of my relationships from my past. And I mean, in fact, there's a show that that JD calls, he tries to give Turk the new nickname. I think it was Chocolate Bear.
Yeah.
And it was just something that and Turk on the show likes it. And that was something that it was a true moment in our show that Zach said it jokingly to Donald, and Donald was laughing, and I was just observing these two guys that were buddies, and there wasn't any edge, and there wasn't any oh my God, you know, and it wasn't even something they stopped for. So,
don't recommend you white friends with
don't
your
try
black
this
friend.
At home.
Don't try this.
Don't necessarily do it to a stranger either.
Don't recommend going into work tomorrow and calling your black friend Chocolate Bear. But it was an example of something that, you know, me and Donald, and then he called me Vanilla Wafer, you know? It was just like a, it was just sort of us joking around, and because it was real, it was something we could put on the show.
My guests from the TV show Scrubs are actor Zach Braff and executive producer Bill Lawrence. Here's a short scene from Scrubs.
Let me buy you lunch.
I'm rich. I'll buy you lunch and some gold teeth to eat it with.
You know, you only got one more black joke this month before I bust your ass.
Damn it. I used them all up watching Barbershop 9.
Okay, that's it, and I'll get you later.
Zach Braff and Bill Lawrence, the star and creator, respectively, of the NBC sitcom Scrubs. Braff also is the star, writer, and director of the movie Garden State, recently released on DVD. More after a break. This is Fresh Air. Let's return to our conversation with Zach Braff and Bill Lawrence. I asked Zach Braff about his film Garden State and how long he'd been working on it.
I went to film school. I set out to make movies, and when I graduated, I moved to New York, and I was doing sort of all sorts of odd jobs, and I started auditioning as well. And that's when I started to get work in theater and independent film, and that eventually led me out to LA and to audition for Scrubs. But my initial intention when I went to school was to be a filmmaker. So I had made a bunch of short films and had pieces of screenplays. And what happened was I got cast in Scrubs, and that day I quit my waiting tables job. And I was so thrilled and screaming to all my relatives and quit that night. And they called me the next day and said we weren't gonna start shooting Scrubs for 4 months. So I figured out a way to live on any of the money I had saved, and I sat down and really hammered out what would be the first draft of Garden State in those intervening 4 months.
The music on the soundtrack, I imagine mm-hmm. that was an awful lot of fun to make those choices, was it?
It was. I really compiled a CD of music that I really love. It actually does relate to Scrubs as well, because on the show, Bill and the writers are always looking for new music for the show. And I always like trying to find new bands, and I have a lot of friends who are musicians. So it's fun because I pitch music ideas to Bill for Scrubs as well. And in writing Garden State, I had lots of ideas for the music I wanted in the movie, and I compiled this CD that I gave out to when I was pitching the script around town and said, and this would be, you know, the ideal soundtrack.
And did you have to take any off because the rights were too expensive?
They were all too expensive at first, but then when we showed them, showed people like Coldplay and Simon and Garfunkel the scenes in which they were used, they really responded to it and were generous enough to let us use their music at a rate we could afford, which was pretty much nothing.
And my last question, which I saved till last only because I'm so embarrassed by it. All the care that you guys put into the fantasy sequences, there was one probably from a couple of seasons ago now. Do you know which one
I'm just I'm just anticipating that it's going to be one of the odd ones.
It is one of the odd ones, and it was one of the characters, and I believe in my memory it was Turk who was fantasizing about Sarah Chalk's character mm-hmm. in like a sort of a softcore porn nurse's uniform
nurse's outfit.
Setup.
Sure. How's it going?
And I remember this 2 years later, partly because I just...
It was hot.
It was, for a regular family sitcom, it was like, wow, that whole thing was filmed and shot and performed in a way that I couldn't believe that you got away with on network TV. And I figure, there must be a story there.
Now, you know what? The only story, truly, David, is that... By working in a creepy, deserted hospital, we've created this environment that the network people don't want to come and visit us. they honestly, because when they drop by there, it's just hot and muggy and no one's ever around. So we basically just shoot the stuff and try to really approach the line as much as we can. Like we shot some romance scenes or sex scenes with Zach and Sarah Chalk over the years that I thought were, you know, at least PG-13, if not R-rated movie stuff.
I couldn't believe that someone that got on the air.
I know. And basically, we just turn it in at the last second and say, this is all we got. And they're just nice enough to go with it. And these things all lend themselves to the stories of me talking to the various censors and saying, no, it'll be totally tastefully done. Or, in fact, one of my cherished possessions, David, is they don't, you know, we language is always a tough barrier, especially when you're talking about network television versus cable, because cable, they swear and curse. And I think on network TV, you're allowed to say the word ass, but we had said it too many times in one episode. And the censor had sent me a note that I have framed on my wall that she wanted me to not use it 6 times, but to use it 3 times. So the note said, it listed all the page numbers that the word ass was on, and then the note said, please pick your ass. and I guarantee you that she had no idea of the comedy of it, but it's framed on my wall in my office.
Well, that's Bill awesome. Lawrence, Zach Braff, thank you for coming to Fresh Air.
Hey, thanks for having
thank
us,
thank you.
Bill Lawrence and Zach Braff. Lawrence is the creator and executive producer of NBC's Scrubs. Zach is the show's star, as well as the star, writer, and director of the movie Garden State, now out on DVD. I'm David Bean Cooley, and this is Fresh Air.